Take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel 25, we're going to read 5 verses together. I'll pray, and then I need you to listen carefully to me. 1 Samuel 25, we're going to read verses 30 through 35. 1 Samuel 25, verses 30 through 35. First Samuel 25, verses 30 through 35. Let's read this passage responsively. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said unto Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself of mine own hand. For in the very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there hath been left unto Nabal, excuse me, I choked myself, by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. Verse 35, let's finish, ready? So David received of her hand that which she brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And let's pray, Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, please calm us, help us to pay attention, help us to listen, help us to get the truth that you have for us tonight, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, listen to me. David has been anointed king by Samuel all the way back in chapter 16, and yet Saul still sits on the throne. David has killed Goliath. He has the right to take the throne. You have to understand, when David was anointed king at probably about the age 17, he had the right to the throne, but he decided he wasn't going to take Saul down or kill Saul to take his position. He would let God put him in position when God felt it was right. God had already said, Saul, I'm going to remove you from being king, but David was anointed, and yet Saul still sat on the throne. And I'm not going to get into the long story here, but let me just share a few things very quickly. Saul had tried to kill David. He threw a javelin at him 3 different times. He was chasing him down. During 1 Samuel 25, Saul was hunting down David basically as an animal. David had a group of about 600 men around him that were protecting him, and they were going around and trying to keep David protected. Shh, listen to me this way. And then David not only had to care for his needs, but he had to take care of 600 men. Now think about that. Imagine traveling through the country, living in the woods, taking care of 600 people. That's a lot of deer to kill, amen? Yeah. That's a lot of food. 600 men can pack away a lot of calories. One man can pack away a lot of calories. One teenager can pack away as much as 3 men. And it doesn't matter which gender the teenager is. Now, David has to care for them. And they were wanting to keep David alive so that he could become king. Now, listen to me very carefully. David knew he was in a place where there was a very wealthy man very close by. That rich man's name was Nabal, all right? That's kind of a funny name. He was married to a lady named Abigail, and Nabal was kind of a foolish man. David sent a couple of his servants and said, Look, you go there, tell Nabal that we're here hiding from Saul, and he knows who I am, and see if he's a very, very, very wealthy man, and ask him if he'll give us enough food to take care of us for a couple days. These servants went, and he was a sheep herder. He had tens and tens and tens of thousands of sheep, and they went and asked Nabal, and Nabal virtually said, he answered them roughly, and he said, I don't know who this David thinks he is, but who am I that I should give up of my wealth for a guy named David? He said, tell him he can't have anything of mine. So the servants didn't say a word. They came back. One of Nabal's servants was near when Nabal said that, and they ran to Nabal's wife Abigail and said, "Abigail, your husband just said this to some of David's servants." David had a reputation of being a good warrior, and if it wasn't going God's way, he'd whack their head off. David had killed his, Saul had killed his thousands, David his tens of thousands. As a teenage boy, went out and killed Goliath, who was 9 foot, 9 inches tall at least. He was a warrior. They knew David wasn't going to be real happy, and he was going to come back by force to take what he needed and probably kill everybody if he needed to. That was what was going to happen. Abigail thought, "Oh, my soul, my husband's so silly." She said, "You run and get some things ready." And they did. She got many sheep together. She got, and I'm not going to go into, she got 200 loaves of bread, and she got raisins, and she got figs, and she got enough food to keep those guys fed for a little while. And she sent it on ahead. And she followed behind and caught up to King David. And she said, "The Lord has kept you from avenging yourself of my husband's foolishness." I love that statement. She said, "The Lord hath kept you from avenging yourself," seeking revenge. That's what the word avenging means, seeking revenge. Now watch this. She said, "I hope you'll find mercy on us. I've tried to do what I can. Please forgive my husband for being foolish." Now, here's the sermon. She was talking to the king. David had been anointed king. She really had no position or authority to talk to him that way. And yet, she did. But I want you to notice what King David said. Look at verse 33. The Bible said, "And blessed be thy advice." Wow. Verse 35, the last part. "I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person." Now, here's what I want you to get tonight. David said, "Abigail, you kept me from making a big mistake. And you're right, I'll listen to what you said." Did she have a right to tell him that? He was the king. She had the right to at least give her opinion. But David saw the wisdom of somebody, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, of a lesser position. And he said, "Blessed be thy advice." Now, I want you to notice the humility of David's greatness. David was a great man. He's the only man in the Bible where it says that he's the man after God's own heart. The only one. He is the father of the tribe and the genealogy of Jesus. It flows through David's family. A very entrusted man from God. But I want you to know something. David didn't have to listen to Abigail. Nor did he have to take her advice, but David was a great enough man and was humble enough to listen to the advice of somebody else. Now, the point of the story is this, not that a woman is less of authority than a man. I'm not talking down about the position of woman. Matter of fact, if anything, I'm going to lift up the position of woman here. But here is a wife, not David's wife, running to the king, and her evil husband, she's begging for mercy so that her family's not destroyed because her husband's about to make a foolish decision and already did. She was trying to right the wrong that her husband had done and trying to keep the king from using his position to destroy her family. Abigail was not a bad person. Now, for David to take vengeance on Nabal would not have helped David's reputation as king. It wasn't going to be David's highlight of his career, that's for sure. Here's the greatest of all kings. By the way, do you know that they still study King David at your military academies today? All of the major military academies still study the life of King David out of the King James Bible. Say why? Because his military strategy was godly, and he still studied to this day. David was not so proud that he couldn't see the wisdom, no matter who it came from. David humbled himself enough to find the wisdom and listen to those that had it. Now, that's a little bit not like today's society. Today, if it's not our opinion, if it's not our way, we don't want anything to do with it. If it's not exactly the way we see it, then they're wrong, I'm right. Everybody doing okay? If it's not my way, no way. We have to do it the way we want, and doesn't matter what anybody else says. Young people, listen to me. I thank God for what Brother Stoltz said. Dr. Jeff Fugit is a great man. He's my friend. But can I tell you something? He and I are not exactly alike. We would do things differently. I don't have to be exactly like him to be his friend. I love Dr. Jorgensen. Dr. Jorgensen and I definitely don't do things everything alike. Dr. Jorgensen's a funny little man. I love him to death, but he's the only human being I know that his mind works so fast that he's got to back up just to be where everybody else is. He can walk through a room of people. Joe, you know what I'm talking about. Hi. Wait a minute. That was Brother Bush. Brother Bush, how are you? I mean, that's how he is. He'll walk all the way across the room and realize, I know that guy from 30 years ago. I already said hello to him. Wait a minute. I haven't seen him in a long time. Better go back and find out who that was. That's how his brain works. And I love the guy. But that doesn't mean I'm not that way. I recognize people's faces, but God help me if I got to pull everybody's name back out. It just doesn't always work that way. Just because we're different doesn't mean we can't get along. Now, listen to this very carefully. We get too proud to listen to somebody who doesn't have the same position or higher position than we do. Do you know that I've learned how to listen to children? I've learned how to listen to teenagers. I've learned how to listen to college students. Say, how do you listen to them? Put your fingers in your ear and watch their mouth move. you know, could it be that God brought some of those people your direction to give you the wisdom you need to help you? I've learned to listen to my wife. When as long as I say, yes, ma'am, everything's good. No, you know, I've learned that as a leader, I must listen to a lot of people to find out. Now, I don't always follow your advice because it may not be the wisest, but there are times I have and it's the right advice. It may be that you have a part of it right, and I can use that to help me in another area even. But learning to listen to people is a very powerful thing. I call this sermon The Humility of Greatness. Let me give you, real quickly, I'm only going to give you 2 points tonight. Number one, David took time to listen even when he was upset. How many of us are guilty of the Apostle Peter disease? We open our mouth and we run our gums before we ever think, especially when we're mad. Yeah, buddy, you don't have to raise your hand. The altar's open, amen? Do you know the hardest time to listen is when you don't agree with somebody or when you're angry? I can see it in people's faces when I preach. When I step on somebody's toes, I can tell on their face. When I was in college, we used to have a term. The dog got the coon in the tree, amen? And if the coon was in the tree, the dog's going to beller a little louder. That's kind of how it was. There are times I back up and preach a point just to make somebody mad again. Because I know it, at least they're listening to me. Can I tell you something? The hardest time to listen to somebody else's advice is when you're angry. David was not real happy with Nabal. He had men to feed. He had a job to get done. He was running for his life. He had the right to ask people for his help as king by Jewish custom. And they were supposed to and virtually obligated if they had the wherewithal to help the king. May I say this? David learned to listen to somebody even when he was upset. David did not have to listen to Abigail, and probably, I'll be honest with you, he probably didn't want to. But he took time to listen to her. David even took time to listen to the enemy. She was the enemy. This was the wife of the guy he was ticked off with. Everybody doing okay? David didn't let his pride keep him from listening. Do you know that sometimes I have to listen to my enemy? You may not believe this, but I have people that come to my office or call me on the phone and they'll criticize me. That's all right. It doesn't bother me. But I found this. My critics even have a little bit of truth. I've learned to listen. If they give me five things that they disagree with me about, I'll find one of them and work on them. Because somewhere in there, I didn't handle something right. And I start trying to fix that which is wrong, or try to shore up that which might not be as strong as it should be. I even listen to the advice of people that hate my internal guts. You say, why? Because I want to be a better person and not cause that again with somebody else. You see, David was not so impressed with his own success and his position that he couldn't listen to someone below him. We are so stuck on position in America today. We are so stinking stuck on position. We no longer can say the word janitor. What's the new term, Brother Joe? What's that? No, not custodian. That's right. Yeah, some kind of engineer. Maintenance engineer. Good night. When I grew up, that meant janitor. They don't call them janitors. You can get in trouble for that. We're not a janitor. We're a mechanical engineer. Now, or a maintenance engineer. Can I tell you something? There's nothing wrong with being a janitor. It's not a bad thing. Why are we so stuck on positions? I won't tell you where or when. It's been in the distant past. But I was one time working for a place, and the man called me in and he said, look, you can have any position but mine and one other position here. You name it and you can stay. I slammed my hand down on his conference table and said, I will not be bought with a position. I said, there's not a position in the world in this place that you could keep me here for. I said, God wants me out of here. That didn't go over real well. I didn't care. He's trying to buy me with a position. Yeah, that's right. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what the title is. David was angry and wanted vengeance, but he had the wisdom, had the greatness to humble himself and listen to somebody to get the wisdom that he needed. We need to take time to listen to wisdom no matter what and who the deliverer is. Did you know that husbands ought to listen to wives and wives ought to listen to husbands? We ought to find the wisdom there. The Bible says, my Bible says women are supposed to submit to their husband. It also says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. A man is supposed to listen to the advice of his wife, weigh it out, find out what is best, and whatever is best, do it. If you listen to her and it wasn't best, that's your fault, dude, not hers. Sorry. I can take the blame real easy. There's times I've taken my wife's advice because I thought it was good and it didn't turn out so well. Guess who was at fault? She was. No, I am. I am, because I was the one that wasn't wise enough to see that it wasn't going to work. There's other times she's taken my advice, didn't work real well. That's most of the time. We learn how to work together on this. You know, did you know every once in a while your children have a valid point? When children are in trouble, I always try to get their side of things. Because somewhere down inside there's some truth there. I've had to apologize to my children before because I overreacted. I know you've never done that, but I have. There's been times I knew for sure this one did it. Punished them, found out later that one didn't do it. Somebody else did it. And I've had to go back and apologize. You say, why did you know they did it? Because I was playing God and I didn't listen. Everybody doing okay? You know, David wasn't so proud that even when he was angry or hurting, that he wouldn't take time to listen to real wisdom, no matter who the source was. And I've got to hurry. Number two, David had the authority to do whatever he wanted. David had the authority to do whatever he wanted. Now listen to me. He had been anointed king, but he didn't use his position to get what he wanted. We have a lot of people that run around and want their position to get them what they want. It's called Congress. Look at these reprobates running around thinking they're hot snot on a silver platter in Congress, and they're nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. I saw an interview this week. I got to laughing. You had all the Democrat women dressed in white for the speech this last week. And a journalist said, well, it was appropriate for them to wear white. They were raising their flag of surrender. I loved it. I thought, that lady's got it. Let me tell you. Now, David allowed people to give their opinion no matter what their position. But watch me. You have to do it the right way. If you're going to give me your opinion about a sermon while I'm preaching it, I'm going to come down hard on you. If you don't agree with something, come talk to me at my office. We'll talk about it in a gentlemanly way, in an adult way. Maybe you're right and I'm wrong. I doubt it, but there's a chance. Maybe I didn't communicate something well. I've done that a couple times. You've heard me apologize, say, I don't think I communicated this well. Let me fix it. I'm not afraid of that. But don't challenge me in front of everybody. That's not the right way to do it. I'll listen to you. I'll listen to your opinion, and we'll talk about it. See, an opposing position doesn't mean someone has a bad attitude. I've worked on a lot of church staffs, okay? I've worked for four other churches, and I've had a lot of staff members that I've worked with over the years. I had one staff member that absorbed some of my duties because I changed duties within the ministry there, and this staff member came to me one day and said, one of your former employees that now is under me is disloyal. I said, what in the world are you talking about? That person's never been disloyal. Well, I wanted to do this, and they told me that they weren't going to do it because it wasn't the right way to do it, and it was against the rules. And they're opposing me. I said, you call opposing you disloyalty? You're an idiot. I said, you have no idea what you're talking about. I said, do you realize what you just asked that person to do is against what your preacher told you to do? It is not. I said, yes, it is. I picked up the phone, called the pastor, and said, we need to talk. Brother so-and-so and I are coming to your office right now. And we did. I began to give the illustration. He said, Brother Bush, thank you. You may leave. That person came back and found out just because somebody has a different opinion doesn't mean somebody's disloyal. Right. If my wife doesn't agree with me about something, it doesn't mean she's disloyal. Okay? She might not like... One day, I came home and she said, honey, you need to change your tie before you go back out. Most of the time, I memorize what ties go with what shirts that go with what suits, but because I'm colorblind, sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. She said, it's not that bad, but it really doesn't match like you think it does. Now, I could get mad and say, bless God, I don't give a rip. Looks fine to me. And it does. But it doesn't look fine to everybody else because they're going, wait a minute. I could get mad. I could let my fur get a little upset because I think I got it right. Or I could say, pick one out. So what do I choose? Pick one out. I don't care which rag I hang around my neck. I'm going to find out whoever invented these things. Yeah, we're going to hang him by them. We're going to stick one in every toenail and stick him upside down. And then we're going to beat him with the rest of them. Amen? Ay, ay, ay. Wisdom looks at all angles for the best action. Do you know that when you go hunting, there's some wisdom that's involved in hunting? You just don't walk through the woods with a gun saying, all right, I'm going to go kill something. It doesn't work out that way. You got to have some wisdom and know how to handle things. Now, let me give you a quick illustration. I'll give you one more statement and I'm done. General George Patton during World War II. He was a 4-star general. Most of the time he was a 3-star. Got to 4 and then lost a star and got back to 3 because he slapped a soldier and Ike didn't like it. He got into the newspapers back home that he had slapped a soldier that had what we would call PTSD. Patton called it cowardice, and the best thing to fix it was to go back to battle. And by the way, he was right. Now, Patton would sit down with his field generals, and he would propose a plan for an attack. Look this way. Listen to me. Do you know if all of Patton's field generals agreed the first time he presented a plan, he got angry? He'd table it for 24 hours. He'd say, somebody in here's not thinking of what could go wrong. Everybody think about it and come back. If all of his generals were in 100% agreement about a plan the first time he presented it, he didn't use it until they figured out what was wrong with it.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that leadership looks for that which could go wrong?
Yep.
So that they can fix it before it goes wrong? That's what leadership does. Now, leadership is listening to all ideas and using the best of them. I'm going to tell you a secret. You ladies, there's about 4 or 5 of us that plan all the ladies' meetings. I'm the only man on there. I got 3 or 4 other ladies that help me plan it. You know what I do? I take in ideas. I listen to all their input. And I try to help put it together in a way. And sometimes I've got the idea. Sometimes somebody else has the idea. We got to giggling and laughing the last time we planned one. If you only knew what the inside joke was, you'd have never come. Because we were dying. Say, are you going to use that idea? Can't use that one, but it was funny. Can I tell you something? I learned how to listen to people and help put it together. And then I help distribute it out through our ladies, and we get it done. I keep touching it. I don't run it. I don't want nothing to do with it other than help organize it so that it goes off fine. That's about as far as I go with it. But I'll listen to their ideas. It's amazing how many different ideas have come up that was a bit of an idea here, a bit of an idea there, and a bit of an idea here. Our new ladies program with the Make Me a Blessing Board. It was a combination of 3 different people's ideas. It's been the best idea yet. Now, it was a combination of 3 different people putting their heads together, making something work. Everybody see what I'm talking about? It doesn't have to be that it's all my idea. You know, I don't give a flip who gets the credit for it. See, we're wanting to get credit for things. David didn't care who got the credit. He just wanted to do that which was right. There is a humility in greatness. Let me say this. The greater the leader, the greater the humility. The greater the leader, the greater the humility. I worked with Dr. Jack Hiles. I knew him. He was a humble man. Now, you heard him in the pulpit, and you thought he was this raging lion, but my dad will tell you, my dad met with him one-on-one on an occasion or two. He's one of the easiest men in the world to get along with. Very humble man. I've spent time with Dr. Lee Robertson. Hosted him for hours and hours and hours. Talk about a humble man. I knew Dr. Lester Roloff. My cousin was killed in a plane crash with Brother Roloff. Sat in living rooms and talked with Brother Roloff. I knew him. You take a man like Brother Fugit. Talk about a great man. Dr. Fugit is a great man. And yet he takes time for everybody. He and I have texted back and forth about 4 or 5 times already today. He takes time for his church is a little bit larger than ours. He's running about 1,800, 2,000 right now. But he takes time for a church running 100. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Can I tell you something? The greater the man, the more humble the man. They're willing to be humble. Can I tell you something? You're not as great as you think you are if you can't listen to somebody else. Every once in a while, it's our job to listen to somebody else to figure out what the best idea is and go from there. There's a humility in greatness. I love that verse. Blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. Oh, by the way, 10 days later, Nabal died of a heart attack. God turned his heart to stone and he died. David called for Abigail and said, you're a sharp lady. Why don't you come be my wife? And she became David's wife. But it came because he was willing to listen to her advice. Can I tell you something? As we go to work, let's learn to listen to people. As we're at home, let's learn to listen to people. As we interact with one another as church and friends and leadership and fellowship and Sunday school teachers and parents of kids in Sunday school classes or junior church, amen, Brother Joe, or wherever it's at, whatever level it is, let's learn to listen to each other and learn to take each other's advice when it's necessary and when it's best. By the way, if somebody doesn't take your advice, don't get all ticked off and get mad and stomp your feet and snort your nose and everything else. Just because they don't do it your way, did you know there's more than one way to do it? And if they want to make a mistake, let them make a mistake. The hardest thing I do as a preacher is watch people make mistakes. And I've done my very best to keep them from doing it. And then they run back to me and say, can you help me get out of this? Yeah. If you'd listened to the sermons, I could have helped you even more. If you'd been here in church instead of going doing this, I could have helped you because I already preached on that. But we'll help you anyway. I watch young people. They'll make decisions and they start making bad decisions. They change their friends. They change their music. They change how they dress. They change all these different things. And they start going a different direction and they're not willing to listen to anybody because they think they know everything. Young people, I don't mean this in a bad way, but I got more sense in that finger than you got in your whole head. I've lived almost 50 years and I've been in the ministry working with people every day of my life and many of them for over 30 years. I know a little bit more about living than you do. I even know a little bit more about medical things than most of you. Amen, Miss Wally? Can I tell you something? I've been around it a lot. Learn to listen to somebody else's advice. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who would say, preacher, if I die tonight, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die tonight, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, I needed that sermon. Something in that sermon is what I needed. There was something in there personally for me tonight. Would you raise your hand? Well, my soul, dozens of hands, literally.